Get started. The time is now 8:33 a.m. on August 25th, 2022, and I call the meeting of the Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners to order. This meeting is video hosted using Zoom. The public and parties on the agenda have been properly noticed of this fact and have been supplied with meeting access instructions. Continuing education credit will not be granted for today's meeting. Ms. Paknon, can you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Dr. Catarino?
Present.
Mr. Dinar? Absent. Dr. Meyer? Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Thank you. Dr. Malott? Absent. Ms. Shreve, I think just... Is Ms. Shreve, are you present?
Yeah, I got booted off. I'm back.
Very good, thank you. Dr. Stewart? Absent. And then Mr. Wynn?
Present.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have our quorum.
Thank you. The board may vote to go into executive session on any agenda item pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to review confidential records, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is confidential by state or federal law, and or ARS 38-431.03A3 to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney. We'll now move to agenda item number 3. Involves Kiever Sklopinski, who obtained a psychologist license in Arizona in January of 2022 under the Universal Recognition Application. Based on information received in ensuing investigation, the board will review and discuss the matter and will make a determination relative to whether a summary suspension of this license is necessary and warranted to protect the public. The board may consider other appropriate administrative remedies and actions as well. Ms. Michelson, will you please provide a summary of this matter to the board?
Yes, Madam Chair. On December 9th of 2021, the board received Mr. Zaplinski's application for psychologist licensure. He applied by universal recognition. On that application, the licensee disclosed having an active license in Florida, but not in any other states. Furthermore, he checked no to all of the background questions on that application. He was subsequently issued a psychologist license by the board on January 24th of 2022. Approximately 6 months later, on August 4th, board staff was notified by a representative from Community Health Associates in Yuma, Arizona, indicating that the licensee's employment had been terminated from the agency when it was discovered that his Colorado license to practice psychology was summarily suspended on January 22nd of 2021 and subsequently revoked on December 2nd, 2021, prior to the licensee applying for licensure in Arizona. The representative indicated that the agency became aware of the disciplinary action taken by Colorado after receiving notification from Access, Arizona's Medicaid agency, that they were denying credentialing of the licensee due to his license being revoked in Colorado, as well as a termination of his participation in the Colorado Medical Assistance Program. According to the Colorado Order of Summary Suspension dated January 22, 2021, in 2018, the licensee submitted his application for licensure in which he misrepresented his educational credentials by falsely attesting to having a doctoral degree and falsely attesting to the number and level of professional licenses in other states. The same misrepresentation occurred on subsequent renewal applications. Additionally, the order indicated that the licensee provided services to a client without adequate education and training to practice as a psychologist in Colorado. Following the summary suspension of his license, the matter went through its formal hearing process in Colorado. On December 2nd, 2021, a final order was issued revoking his license. The board received his licensure application 1 week after his license was revoked in Colorado. The licensee failed to disclose the disciplinary action taken by Colorado on his licensure application as required or at any point during the application process with the board. The background questions on his application specifically ask, have you ever been sanctioned or placed on probation by any jurisdiction? Has any state ever initiated disciplinary action against or suspended or revoked your professional license or certification? And are you currently under investigation or have you been found to have violated a professional conduct by any jurisdiction? The report submitted to the National Practitioners Data Bank by the Colorado Board, which was submitted on December 2nd of 2021 when the revocation went into effect, notes that in 2018, respondents submitted an application to the board in which he misrepresented his educational credentials to the board by falsely attesting to have a doctoral degree as well as a number of licenses held in other states. Additionally, in 2019, the licensee submitted a renewal application for his license, making the same misrepresentations. The report also indicated that respondent held himself out as a qualified individual to provide doctoral level psychology services on professional websites advertising his services. He provided psychology services to client KB without adequate education and training to practice as a psychologist in Colorado. He provided and billed for duplicate services to client KB by providing treatment for the same condition for which another provider was already treating KB. His treatment notes for client KB are identical throughout KB's medical record, except for the dates of service. During board staff investigation into this matter, it was also discovered that the licensee previously held an educator credential in California that was issued by the California Commission on Teaching Credential in 2016 and subsequently revoked in August 2021 for misconduct. That certification was revoked approximately 4 months before the licensee submitted his application to the board. The licensee failed to notify the board of this action on his application as required. The background question specifically asks, has any state ever initiated disciplinary action against or suspended or revoked your professional license, certification, or registration? In response to a request for information, the California Commission provided various documentation to staff regarding the revocation, which reflected that their decision was based on three misdemeanor convictions in California that occurred between 2004 to 2020. In reviewing the police and court records provided, the following was noted regarding the licensee's criminal history. A 2004 misdemeanor conviction for grand theft, which resulted in the licensee serving 3 years summary probation, paying fines, and a restriction that he could not work as a caretaker for dependent adults or elders. Approximately 9 years later, in 2013, the licensee was granted a dismissal by the court in response to his petition under a California statute to have a guilty verdict set aside. Additionally, a 2005 misdemeanor conviction for vandalism. Subsequently, in 2012, the licensee was granted a dismissal by the court. And the third conviction was a 2020 misdemeanor conviction for disturbing the peace by loud or unreasonable noise, which resulted in the licensee serving 2 years summary probation and paying fines. The licensee failed to disclose his criminal history on the application with the board as required. The background question specifically asks, are you currently awaiting trial, under indictment, have been convicted of, pled no contest or guilty to a felony or misdemeanor, including any convictions that have been expunged, pardoned, or deleted? Currently, the licensee holds an active psychologist license in Florida, which was issued in December of 2020. And he also has an active license in Wisconsin, which was issued in 2016. He previously held a license in Michigan, which expired in 2016. Through this investigation, staff has learned that he also has a pending application with Washington State, which has been in pending status since 2020, as he has not met the requirements. The licensee failed to disclose all states where he has ever been licensed, as he only listed having a license in Florida on that application with the board. The question on that application specifically asks for all states where an applicant has been licensed or certified. It is not known if Florida and Wisconsin are aware of the action taken by Colorado, as their websites reflect that there are no disciplinary actions on file for this licensee. This matter is before the board today to determine if emergency action is necessary to protect the public health, welfare, and safety of Arizonians, or if other administrative action should be exercised. Please let me know if there are any questions. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Michelson? Hearing none. Slopinski, are you present and are you represented by counsel?
No.
Do you wish to make a brief statement?
The accusations that are put forth were just accusations. I sent you the DJJ report after becoming aware of this situation and taking the advice of the attorney when I did have one in in Colorado. They said that I have not been found guilty of any crimes. And when asked how to apply to those, I was told to apply to them in that manner. If you look at the DJJ record, which was sent to you, all those cases have been dismissed. So I don't know why, I don't understand the terminology of being found guilty. I have not been found guilty. They were dismissed. Those cases were dismissed. And it's clearly indicated in the DJJ, which is a report that I subsequently ordered after finding out from CHA that this has taken, that had taken place. So I sent you that DJJ report. So I'm a little bit misunderstanding of the terminology. I have not been found guilty. Those cases were dismissed.
Thank you. Any additional comments? Do we have any questions for Mr. Slupinski? Ms. Shreve?
Mr. Bukinski, could you specifically provide us what degrees you have?
I have a doctor.
Go ahead.
I have a doctorate in clinical psychology. I have a respecialization in clinical work from Alliant International and a postdoctorate from Alliant International. After this came about, I contacted the school. They are working to make sure that the records reflect all that information on it. I can forward that to you. I was just in San Diego over the weekend on Friday to Monday, and she is working. She has ordered all the records from the school. It started out as USUI and then it turned into another school. So it's taking them quite a bit of time to find all that stuff.
And have you taken the ECCC?
Yes.
And do you have proof of your score and that you've taken it?
Yes.
And was that provided to the state, to our department?
Sure. Whatever they required. I'm not sure what people have required.
Ms. Shreve, it's not required to submit the ECCC score for universal recognition applications.
Okay, then it wasn't my error. I'm sorry.
And I was trying to find, so you said you had a doctorate in psychology. I thought I saw a certificate. It was not psychology in itself.
I started out in education. So that's what the reason.
This says clinical psychopharmacology.
That is correct. It's a postdoctorate giving prescription privileges in, I think, 5 different states.
And then you have a doctorate in philosophy?
It's a clinical psychology degree from Institute for Human Science, CIHS.
All right. And where were you first? And again,
licensed in Detroit, Michigan under a doctorate in education rather than clinical aspect. That's why I did the respecialization through the school, which Alliant required in order to get the postdoctorate in prescription privileges.
All right, thank you. No more questions.
Dr. Catarino?
Yes, I'm looking here. There was something submitted for a petition for dismissal of charges, and it's dated 5/21/04. I believe, or 09, it's hard to read that.
Correct. That was a accusation. What had happened, that I was working with a lady doing healthcare, and I had a house fire that occurred in Wisconsin. After speaking with her, she said that she would help me clear the title so that I could fix the house. She applied for a credit card. Her family got aware of it. They filed a complaint against Adult Protective Services, and it went on for several years until we were able to get back into court and have it again. To my understanding, those cases were dismissed.
Well, I'm reading the says declaration of Kiver Karian Slupinski, and the first point is your petition for expungement. And okay. Number one, and it says, I was convicted of violating PC 487 in 2004 and PC 594A/B in 2005. I have not committed any offense since 2005. Two, I take full responsibility for the conduct leading to my convictions. There's no excuse for my behavior underlying the convictions. And then it explains the different convictions. So it looks like you were convicted and you agreed that you were convicted. Does it look like they were
dismissed? I understand that.
Mr. Lipinski, Madam Chairman, I would ask that you instruct Mr. Lipinski to stop interrupting board members. He interrupted Ms. Shreve, and this is like the third time he's interrupted Dr. Catarino. This matter is being recorded, and the record will not be clear if he continues to interrupt those who are speaking.
Thank you. Yes. Please wait until the board members are completed with their question and the information that they're providing before providing a response. Ms. Michaels?
Madam Chair, if I may provide a clarifying comment. With respect to those 2004-2005 charges, he was convicted. The court documentation reflects that. However, in California, pursuant to certain parameters, you are able to submit a petition at a certain point years later for dismissal, which is what he did and was approved by the court for the grand theft and vandalism convictions. However, I do want to note that the application for licensure specifically states that they are required to disclose any convictions, including cases that have been expunged, pardoned, or deleted.
Well, and yes, and just now, my question was that you said that you were never convicted. But on this form, it says you were convicted. And you say, I said, I take responsibility for my conviction. Could you explain that?
Well, again, when I spoke with the lawyers that were helping do that paperwork, that's what I was told by them. The whole purpose of the California law, according to those attorneys, was to make sure that it doesn't keep affecting the progression or the work that somebody has done after that effect. Was it a bad decision? Yeah, I agree. Was the fact that I asked her for help? Yeah, I did that. It wasn't until the fact that the family got involved and so forth that it went that direction. I don't deny any of that.
Well, just now, I'm referring to your conversation as you started today and said everything was dismissed.
Because
all my cases were dismissed. And so that was today.
That was my understanding after speaking with the attorney, which the whole idea and concept of that expungement, according to California law, is so that issues don't keep arising and people don't get put down or judged or prevented from moving on with their life. That was the whole thing of it. So that's why I did and responded the way I did.
And why did you respond that way today, saying it was dismissed?
Because I believe it to be dismissed.
Well,
I mean, I sent a documentation to the board from the federal government. Did anybody receive those? No.
Okay. Yes, the mailing was supplied to the members.
Okay. So I can only go years after the effect after the fact. About that, and the fact of me having different licenses is because when I apply to companies and they want to send me, I work with a placement agency. So when that placement agency finds a spot, they help assist in getting licenses. So that's why I have a license in different states. It's a requirement for the position that I usually take. Or that they placed me in.
Okay. I'll let someone else ask.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Catarino. Dr. Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Chislipinski, can you explain why you did not include all of your licenses on your previous licenses in other states on your application for Arizona?
That would have been an error on my part. I think I focused on the fact that when I spoke with the lady that was processing it, she said there's equivalent states. So the equivalent states is what I focused on, and the equivalent state would have been Florida.
Okay.
So that was my error in not putting those licenses on there.
Were you aware of your California, Colorado license being suspended at the time you applied to us?
No, that whole instance started where I was seeing a client through TriWest Insurance. It had nothing to do with Medicare, any of that. It was a separate insurance company, and she was being seen for vocational and not for anything but vocational. So what I was working with her was an aspect of getting her vocational experience, troubles, concerns, anxiety, and so forth. It had nothing to do with what the accusation from a licensed clinical social worker put forth. She had found out that we were mutually seeing the same client. She demanded upon the individual to stop seeing me. She said, I'd rather see Dr. Shapinski because I find that his work is more beneficial for me. After doing that, she stopped services with this other lady, and that's when the accusation started.
Okay, but my understanding is your Colorado license was suspended in January of 2021. Is that correct?
I had not known that. I had left the state. I went to Florida. The place and agency moved me to Florida. So I took a position with Florida. I had contact.
You weren't notified by the board, by the Colorado board?
They attempted to notify, but there wasn't a forwarding address.
Are you required to provide a forwarding address to the Colorado board?
Correct, which I probably failed to do. But then the license was expiring within, I think, 3 to 4 months.
Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
And Dr. Meyer, board members, if I may clarify, in reviewing the orders from Colorado on page 21, I was looking at the notice of charges after they summarily suspended his license and indicated that he was noticed of the charges at a formal hearing, and he actually submitted a response on April 21st of 2021.
At which point I thought it was resolved. I retained an attorney, and the attorney was supposed to represent and move forward with that.
But thank you, Ms. Michelson, for that clarification. But that what that says is that you were aware of the suspended license, which you just told me that you weren't aware.
I'm misunderstanding what you mean by like aware of it. When the attorney got a hold of it, he said that I had showed him the degrees in that. So he believed that it would be dismissed.
Okay. So let me ask this very clearly. When you applied for licensure with Arizona, were you aware that your Colorado license had been suspended?
Yes.
No further questions. Thank you.
Are there any additional questions from board members? I just have just one. Mr. Sklipinski, can you please clarify for us what your full legal name is?
Kiever John Firkish Shapinski. It's a combination of my mother's name and my father's birth name.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Davey. Have a second.
Yes, Dr. Davey.
Yeah, so thank you. I have a series of questions, and I think I'm just going to take them one at a time. I will indicate when I'm ready for an answer. The first one has to do with what happened in Colorado. One, I have significant concerns that your failure to stay connected with that board, knowing that there is a complaint lodged against you, knowing that that needs to be worked out, that you fail to respond to them in a timely manner with or without an attorney that I'm guessing is also requesting that you respond in a timely manner. Their findings of fact include that you are not safe to practice psychology with a reasonable skill and safety for patients, and that the public health and safety and welfare imperatively requires emergency action. That is where they acted to some similarly suspend your license in the state of Colorado. You're saying to this board today that you're sorry you didn't understand that this was happening, that you lost track of it, you moved out of state. That does not sit well considering you're now licensed in our state to practice. So explain to me how you expect this board to square up your lack of engagement with a previous state with your desire to continue practicing here.
I had retained an attorney, and I was relying on the attorney to represent me.
That's not an answer. That's just saying that you expect. So where's this communication with the attorney? That's like saying, well, I'm not going to get into analogies. All right, as far as I'm concerned, that's a non-answer. The second part has to do with our application is quite clear. Our application asks to list every place you've been licensed. Mm-hmm. And you just essentially provide us one, when in fact you've held licenses in multiple states, you've applied for licenses in multiple states. That is on you to complete that in its entirety. So why is attention not paid to detail in this respect? And what is your response when we ask why you only list your Florida license?
Again, that was an error on my part, and I accept that. I have no answer to that question.
Finally, I have some questions with regard to, you know, your legal advice that you are getting from whomever is representing you with regard to how you fill out information when it asks if you have ever been convicted of something. I've looked through the documentation. The convictions are standing. Your dismissal of them, I don't believe, resolves you of the fact that those convictions are there, and that your discussions with your attorney, you know, need to get those cleared up. And where you have questions, I don't understand why you would not reach out to the board you were seeking licensure with to be able to answer that question truthfully and honestly. Because right now I look at this and I feel as if there's a lot of errors. There's a level of that I am feeling of mistrust towards your ability to engage this board with the respect and the time and the diligence that it requires. And that just translates into how practice goes when you're on the ground with a client. And so I'm having a very hard time squaring up your engagement with a lawyer, but yet you getting your engagement with a lawyer not extending to making sure that you're completing legally binding applications correctly. So explain to me why you have that disconnect and what you're doing to fix it.
Well, my thought on that is you probably have a lack of attention to detail, and that's probably something that I should probably focus on and realize that more attention needs to be taken to that. The fact that deception. I can't accept the fact that I've deceived anybody. Like I said, the whole initiation of this process was an accusation from a licensed clinical social worker who claimed that I was not trained properly, which wasn't even accurate information. So again,
I'll give you I appreciate that. I'll give you another example of what I mean by not being forthcoming with this board. And so one of them is information that you've sent to us with regard to the National Database on Practitioners. You've provided a sheet to us that is outdated and does not show that there is actually a state license or certification action that has occurred.
I was not even aware.
I'm just telling you, you forwarded us information that the processing date is not even in the current year. The process date is like 2021 or prior. And so if you're seeking clarification from these individuals, clarification to be able to forward to us with regard to your good standing, I would encourage you to get more accurate information, more timely information, because the report I have in front of me clearly states, and again, from the National Practitioner Data Bank, that there is a state licensure certification action. What you provided to us is outdated and says no report. That, in my turn, that is providing us again with false information.
I applied for licensure at that time, sir. I followed the procedure. It said get on that little website that was connected to the Arizona thing, and that's what I did.
With all due respect, sir, you did not follow the procedure because you failed to answer the questions truthfully.
Correct, but I'm saying the broad...
Thank you for the questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any additional questions for Mr. Slopinski?
I would like to say this, Mr. Slopinski. We have, on the application form, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions that are controversial, let's say. One, just so you understand, one was, have you ever been licensed or certified as a psychologist in any other state? You only list one. Has any state ever initiated disciplinary action, suspended or revoked your professional license, certification, or registration? A clear check mark in the no column. Are you currently under investigation or have been found to violate a professional code of conduct? Says no. Have you ever been sanctioned or placed on probation by any jurisdiction? Says no. And are you currently under trial or have been convicted of or pled no contest or guilty to any felony or misdemeanor? So we're talking about some careless errors, but that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions that there may be careless errors on. How can you explain that?
Again, I would attribute to attention to detail and the information I had from the legal representation that I had not committed any of those offenses, okay? The cases, in my understanding, were dismissed. So you, from what I understand when I spoke to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, is that that simply is a documentation of arrests. It's not that I was convicted. They were arrests. So again, it's my lack of understanding. I don't claim to know law. I don't claim to know nuances. All I know is that I provide services in a safe manner. I may not be the greatest psychologist out there, but by no means do I not provide services in a safe manner. My clients have never made any accusations against me. This came about from a licensed clinical social worker who believed, and I believe got upset, that she was not chosen over me providing services. And the truth of the matter is, there's no law that I understand. You can see as many people as you want. There's no limitation to seeing any number of people. So again, I believe that this was somebody that got vengeful, that got angry and got hurt for the fact that the client, which is her right, did not choose to stay with her.
Well, I'm just thinking on some of these, it says, please provide an explanation. So you could have said, you know, explanation, this is what happened. My attorney advised me in such a way. There was not even any explanation.
You know, and I accept that for moving too quickly through the process. And again, when I apply for licensure, these companies and placements help fill out the paperwork. So again, I will take more diligent looking at that. And again, I have started my own way of fixing it. I've got a hold of the school. I've got a hold of all these things, and they assure me that is not on their end, that I do have my doctorate, I do have my postdoctorate, and I just feel like where does the miscommunication or accusation stop? If it doesn't stop and it's wrong to begin with, I'm found guilty of any accusations. I don't understand that concept. And I guess that's my own internal problem. You know, I don't make judgment on people. I don't incorporate that in my therapy or my professional life. I see people from where they are because I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I do know what happened in my case. It was a false accusation by a licensed clinical social worker that got upset that the client chose to stay with me and didn't stay with her. The fact that we were double billing is not correct. The company I was working with was Sky Therapy, who billed TriWest. She was not being seen for anything but vocational. So I assisted her with application for licensure. I assisted her with the idea of anxiety provoking issues that would come up, personal issues, kind of on a consulting. What happens if, because she had a lot of trauma in her life. So that's what I was focusing on, directed toward her career. It had nothing to do with anything else.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Madam Chair.
Ms. Galvin?
Dr. Zubinski, is it your testimony that you did not complete this application that was filed with Arizona?
I completed it. No, obviously I completed it.
Well, you testified a minute ago that these agencies, these placement agencies, helped fill out the application. So I'm just trying to determine, did you complete it or did you not?
I did complete it, ma'am.
That's Thank cool. you. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Shreve?
That was my question. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Galvin.
Are there any additional questions? Hearing none, I would like to make a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of legal advice.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any additional questions for Mr. Sklopinski? Hearing none, the board will now move into deliberations. This is a time for the board to discuss the matters and make a decision on moving forward. Does anybody have any discussion that they would like to lead? Ms. Shreve?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm very concerned that because of the Colorado suspension, if we had known about that when he applied for universal recognition, he would not have been qualified for that because of the statute. You can't get universal recognition if you have issues going on in other with your license. So it's concerning that in essence we provided a personal license without them necessarily qualifying or knowing all the information, so we could have made a really good decision on what we should do.
I agree. And I also, and this, as an ethics instructor, this is something I really work on with my students, is ignorance isn't an excuse on these matters, that there is a professional obligation that we have to answer the questions to, the best of our ability, honestly, factual. And I think that has greatly muddied the water. But I also think that it's important to note that there has also been continued misrepresentation, even in the conversation today. And so for those reasons, I too am significantly concerned about the status of his ability to practice in the state of Arizona.
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Davey. I would just agree. I don't know that it's a level of not attending or even ignorance. Like in reading through this documentation, I find it to be a clear misrepresentation and extremely troubling. And I for one, am ready to make a motion.
Yeah, I
would say that's fine. Well, based upon the information and evidence presented to the board today and is set forth in the interim findings of fact and the interim conclusions of law, I move that the board adopt the interim findings of fact and conclusions of law and make a finding that the emergency action, that a emergency action is needed to protect all three things, public health, safety and welfare for the state, for the public.
Those findings of fact, I'm happy to list them out here. You know, I think that they are around, again, that misrepresentation theme of have you ever been licensed that was failed to answer correctly? Has there ever been any sort of disciplinary action initiated against you that was not properly referenced? Have you ever been found or found to violate a code of conduct in any jurisdiction that was not properly provided to us? And have you ever been sanctioned by a jurisdiction? All of those areas, along with ongoing misinformation provided today to this board in this special hearing, I believe those are the findings of fact.
Dr. Davey, would you care to add to that list his failure to disclose his criminal history?
Yes, sorry, I missed that one, but that is also a big red flag as well. Those were answers to questions within the application.
I'll second this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? We will need a roll call vote. Ms. Pakanon, can you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Dr. Catarino?
Yes.
Mr. Diner? Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott? Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Stewart, Mr. Wynn.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'd like to go ahead and make a second motion.
Yes, Dr. Davey.
So given that the board's finding it turned fact, findings of fact and interim conclusions of law require emergency action in order to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Arizona, I move that the board similarly summarily suspend the license of Mr. Kiever Zabolinski, psychology number 54, the license number 5463, effective upon service of this order, and move that the executive director refer this matter to formal hearing. In addition, I would request that the executive director inform all states where we are aware at this time of an active license or application for an active license by this individual be made aware of today's proceedings, as well as other information we have may have been attained during our investigation.
I'll second that too.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Thank you, Dr. Catarino. If we could, any further discussion? If we could go ahead and go with another roll call vote, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Yes.
Dr. Davey.
Yes.
Dr. Catarino.
Yes.
Mr. Diner, Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott, Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Stewart, Mr. Wynn?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. That does conclude our, conclude this matter, Ms. Galvin.
I do have one request of the board. In the event that Mr. Zabolinski determines that he does not want to proceed with the uncertainty of an administrative hearing, also in terms of time and expense of that administrative hearing, would the board accept a consent agreement for voluntary surrender from him? Is there a consensus that you would accept that?
And that would go to the national databank, and we would also include that in our information out to the other licensing boards.
That's correct. The voluntary surrender would have the same effect of a revocation if you were to go to formal hearing. But like I said, it does not necessitate the time and expense of a formal hearing. And he would have to agree to it, obviously, but this is something that I could negotiate with him if he's so inclined. If not, we proceed to formal hearing in approximately 30 days before an administrative law judge.
Okay.
I, for one, would be open to that so long as Dr. Davis-Wilson indicated that we are immediately alerting the jurisdictions that we are aware of where he is either previously been licensed, is currently licensed, or is seeking licensure.
Understood.
Yes, I believe you do have a consensus. Anybody have any opposition to that? Hearing none, Ms. Galvin, you do have a consensus. All right, that concludes this matter, we can move to agenda item number 4, and that's going to be adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
A motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn in a second. All in favor, or any further discussion? All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion carries. I saw someone drop off. I had to make sure it wasn't one that needed to vote on our adjournment.
Thank you very much.